The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In true Chewy fashion, right before we turn on our microphones, he goes, when it comes to working out, how long can I wear these shorts before I have to wash them?
What, do you smell something?
Do I smell something? What, am I hard of smelling? Of course I smell something.
What is it?
Wear it once, wear it twice, one of three times. And when... What prompted the question to myself?
You start to smell them a little bit?
Not smell, they're a little dirty.
What do you mean by dirty?
It's B.O. The valet must have had B.O.
Can't be. Nobody has B.O. like this.
Jerry, it's B.O.
But the whole car smells.
Like some sweat stains or other types of stains?
I don't know what that is.
Because the other type of stains, probably, you know, throw them in there.
Well, that's only with the whites. The whites are definitely too. And you have to look at the backside to be like, all right, yeah.
So when somebody has B.O., the O usually stays with the B. Once the B leaves, the O goes with it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count our chances.
The most Monday post in the history of Mondays. Shams Charania telling us that Giannis Antetokounmpo has not made any firm decisions, but for the first time in his career, he is open-minded about whether his best fit is remaining in Milwaukee or playing elsewhere, league sources told ESPN. They are talking about it on all of the shows. Now they're talking about how could the results of the draft lottery affect the future of Giannis. They were also talking about it on Unsportsmanlike after the news broke from Shams Charania, our friend Evan Cohen weighing in on this breaking news.
Let me be clear. This is very clear by Shams. Giannis has not asked out. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But two things are happening. One, he's open-minded. And two, the draft lottery is tonight. And the draft lottery includes teams that were in the playoffs this year and teams that should have been in the playoffs this year and teams that have megastars. Who am I talking about? Houston is a two seed. San Antonio with Wemby. If you get the number one pick in the draft and you could sell Milwaukee on the idea of, I know you don't want to get rid of Giannis, but I'm handing you a franchise player who will sell tickets upon arrival, that's when those talks feel different than years past. Let me be clear.
Gabe?
I mean, you're handing a potential. Like, you can build a... But that doesn't take the compensation down at all. Like, Cooper Flagg is a really intriguing piece. I don't think you can call him a franchise player upon stepping in the NBA. He's a potential franchise piece.
Well, sure, because there's been a long line of guys who you thought would be franchise players. And look, Zion is always going to get the first crack at that.
I mean, Zion has played like a quarter of the games that he's been able to, and that's been a big part of why he has been inefficient, and the Pelicans haven't been very good. But yeah, I mean, having the number one overall pick is just so much more valuable, especially when you know you can get Cooper Flagg versus... Oh, here's a first-round pick in 2027, because you have no idea where that pick is going to fall.
So you're saying if there is any intrigue for what goes on tonight in the NBA draft lottery, it is if one of the teams that would be interested in Giannis gets that number one pick?
Yeah, because that strengthens the package that you can offer.
And in your mind, what are those teams?
The two, again, literally just the two that he mentioned. It's Houston and San Antonio. It's Houston and San Antonio because Houston has a bunch of picks that they can trade and picks that don't belong to them, by the way, which is super valuable because the Bucks don't have their picks. So if you're getting the Suns pick and, you know, in a couple of years, the Suns aren't going to be any good, like that helps versus, oh, yeah, we'll give you our 2028 first round pick. Well, you're going to be pretty good, Houston, because you have Giannis. Yeah. So that having that Suns pick would certainly be more valuable. San Antonio has a bunch of picks. And some intriguing young players that they could build a package around that number one overall pick as well, should they end up winning the draft lottery tonight.
San Antonio, according to fanspo.com, has a 6% chance of getting the first overall pick, I believe. Let me make sure I'm reading this correctly. Yes. And you mentioned Houston as well. According to this, a 4.5% chance. of getting the first pick. If you're curious about what the numbers show or the simulators show, Utah, Washington, and Charlotte each have a 14% chance, according to this sim, of getting the first pick in the lottery tonight.
Yeah, so that's...
Are we rooting for those teams then?
Yeah, yeah, because guess what? He ain't going to Utah.
Come on, Utah. Let's go Utah. Or even Washington or Charlotte. I mean, are you at the point, Gabe, where you're like collecting information and maybe putting it together? If you believe a report from a few weeks ago that indicates Giannis might want a big market team, might be New York, might want Chicago. But by all accounts, those teams do not have the assets. LA is another one. Do not have the assets to put together a package that could get Giannis.
No, LA doesn't. New York might be able to put something interesting together, but again, the lack of picks that the Knicks have, because again, they had to go out and trade all their picks to get Mikal Bridges on that team. So that makes it tough for the Knicks to do that. I have a hard time imagining one of those bigger market teams, which is why now it falls. Houston is incredibly intriguing because they were the 2 seed this year. They obviously are a very good team. They lost in the first round to Golden State, and they need that star. Have a lot of good players, but everything else makes more sense if they have that star. So Houston's probably the most intriguing team to me because of the assets and picks they have.
Chewy, how should Bucks fans feel about this breaking news this morning? It's a Monday. You're already dragging on a Monday. And now, open-minded.
Seinfeld scale of concern? What's the middle one?
I'm a little stressed.
Probably between stressed and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is you think he talked to the Bucks already? You think he went to the Bucks and said, well, what's our plan? And my guess is the Bucks said, I don't know. Well, we have to figure this thing out.
According to the Shams report, I think they haven't had the meeting yet. Maybe they had a meeting, but there is a paragraph in the story on ESPN.com from Shams saying that the Bucks and Adetokunbo's representatives are expected to sit down during the offseason and to discuss the future.
Does he like Doc?
Yes.
He likes Doc.
He likes Doc.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
You know what? I just think it's nice to be wanted. You know?
Well, but again,
take a couple, you know, it's like NFL. Take a couple free agent trips, go check it out. But at the end of the day, it's like, nah, I'm not going to leave.
And again, I think a lot of this comes down to, you start exploring some of these options and you quickly realize like the list of teams that have enough assets to be able to give up to get you and remain as competitive as you want them to be, pretty few and far between.
I think he does leave at some point in time, but it's not now. How's that? Fair?
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Because hopefully when this happens again, you say the same thing again. And you keep saying the same thing. I would love for Giannis to be a Buck for life. Like, we haven't had, I mean, I missed the very tail end. I guess I caught the very tail end of Robin Yount's career.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the last major star we had that did that.
You're talking in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, yes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Braun played for the, but he's not on that same level.
No.
You know, where he won the championship. Yeah, he won an MVP, didn't win the championship the way that Brett did or Aaron did. And obviously, those guys went to go play elsewhere. But we haven't had that, hey, this is our guy, and he's always going to be our guy.
Yeah.
For a really long time.
I agree. Wants a little gush.
At this point, Gabe, is your understanding that the Bucks are just resigned to be a luxury tax team year in and year out?
As long as you have Giannis, yes.
So when we talked about the Chris Middleton trade and we talked about the second apron, what would keep them from going up and over the second apron? Is it not re-signing Brooke Lopez? Is it?
Oh, no, they're under the second apron. So they don't have to worry about that this offseason. That maybe becomes something they worry about in the future if they're able to add somebody with a little bit more money this offseason. But that's not a worry.
They're significantly enough below it that's not something that comes into play when they're making these decisions.
Correct.
Do you wait on it, though? Let's say you have free agent money this year. Do you be like, yeah, we're not. We'll make playoffs next year, but we're not going to make a push at it. So let's kind of stockpile stuff, kind of get rid of guys that aren't going to be here when hopefully they can make a move
in three years. Yeah, because it's not just the tough part for Horst. And we've heard how many GMs talk about this. It's not just about what do I do for this year.
Yes.
What am I doing 3 years, 4 years, five exactly. years down the line? Yeah. It's about playing that game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, do I think that's a possibility, Chu? Absolutely.
Okay.
That's absolutely
just a soft rebuild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will put the Seinfeld scale of concern on the Twitter account. We haven't done that in a while, so we got to be refreshed on what they are. Yada, yada, yada. You look a little stressed. I'm freaking out. We'll put that on the poll with this new breaking news from Shams Charania about Giannis being open-minded about the possibility of playing elsewhere, right? He's going to do his due diligence, if you will. How are you feeling? What's your confidence level that Giannis will be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks next season? We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I want to get to a few other things this morning. This has sort of hijacked the show with good reason, obviously. I think there's a lot of concern and intrigue and curiosity here in Milwaukee, but also everywhere, as we discussed. But we will try to pivot to another topic right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Take a break from the Giannis Antetokounmpo breaking news from Shams Charania. If you're just tuning in, Giannis is open-minded. That is the word that is being used. I just want to make sure I read this correctly. About exploring whether his best long-term fit is remaining in Milwaukee or playing elsewhere, league sources told ESPN. I want to pivot for a moment to another story that I saw this weekend. The NCAA is considering lifting the rule that keeps players, coaches, and staff from betting on pro sports. So that means that maybe, just maybe, they will start allowing college athletes to bet on pro sports. And Will is with us this morning as Josh DiMaggio has an off day. Will, you were saying that this reminds you of that the football team that got punished, right?
Yeah, I believe the Iowa State football team got punished for betting on, but that was their own games. But I do know, I'm pretty sure as a college athlete, you can bet on pro sports as long as they do not have that as an NCAA sanctioned sport. So it's only UFC is the only one that they can bet on.
Oh, that's an interesting little loophole.
Yeah.
If there's not an NCAA sanctioned sport. Huh.
Okay.
That's weird.
That is weird.
So how do you feel about this, guys? You okay with college players, one, betting on pro sports? Because the thing that I said is, we talk about the degrees of separation. Sometimes we joke about how, even being in this industry, we are friends with insiders or we know insiders. We have Adam Schefter on our show. Adam Schefter obviously gets information all the time, and he filters out which information he goes public with and which information he's reporting. But I imagine that if Adam Schefter shared some of those details, and again, this is all hypothetical, I'm not saying he does this, with somebody who wanted to place a bet on something, that might help them direct their, you know, financial, what do you call them? Contributions. No. Investments. There's the word I was looking for. Wait. Investments.
Wait, okay. I just want to be clear. We're now called gambling investing.
That's correct. Okay.
Now right. I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Let's keep it moving. The degree of separation is small. Like, I think about guys who are in college who then have former teammates who are now in the league. If you're still friends with those guys, it feels like information might be being passed pretty easily.
But I feel like most of the information about players who actually affect those lines, like I think a couple of years ago when Aaron Rodgers, whether it was with Wilde and Tausch, because it was before he was doing McAfee, let it be known that AJ Hawk played like the entire season with a knee injury, even though he was never on the injury report because he practiced and he went through all that. He's like, yeah, AJ was, you know, pretty banged up throughout the course of the year, so he went to bat for his guy. Okay, if AJ Hawk appears on an injury report, it's not affecting the line. But if a quarterback does, or a running back, or a wide receiver, these are all the players that Adam is going to be plugged in on, that Diana Russini is going to be plugged in on. And I feel like most of the information that's actually affecting lines is probably getting out because of how heavily, especially the NFL, NBA, less so to a Major League Baseball level. But when you think gambling, mostly you're thinking NFL, of that's where a lot of the money is going to go. I don't have a problem with this because I feel like the information is probably already out there in terms of
everything we do. What about the son of or the daughter of a coach, you know, that's dialed in week of practice and, you know, at the dinner table, it's like, well, he ain't playing.
What about the girlfriend of a coach?
Think
Hudson's kind of throwing some money down there if she gets some inside
We're
info from
her Hudson now?
I forgot her first name.
I like what Adam Strove calls her. Alex Strove calls her Jordan, which I thought was a good little.
But I mean, insider trading, it's the same thing. It's like if you your dad works for a pharmaceutical company and, hey, they're coming out. No one's heard of this. It's coming out. What's the difference, right? There's you're never going to be able to control it, right?
Yeah.
It's just part of it. I don't think if you can do it, and the thing with us as players, like, if you can buy it at GNC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell can't we take it?
Yeah, it should be legal.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an interesting parallel. Is that how you think that college athletes feel? If everyone else is gambling on all these things, why should we?
I don't
we
see
be
the
able
problem.
To?
You know, I mean, you got to be careful. I don't think they should be able to bet on their own game.
Correct. Like, you leave all the college stuff out of it. And again, a lot of states that have legalized gambling, especially through apps and whatnot, and I know this is the case at Pottawatomie as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bet on, if Marquette's playing, you can't be betting on Marquette because they're a team within
correct.
The state.
Or well, even, I don't have a problem with a college football player saying you can't bet on college football. Just
yeah.
can't.
Yeah.
And you can bet pro, you can bet whatever, mm-hmm. you know. I had buddies that tried to pick me for information, and I'm like, uh-uh.
Oh, yeah, because you're just you big old lockbox over there, locking away the secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least,
big secret keeper over there.
At least Elaine had to drink the peach schnapps. You don't even need alcohol assistance.
We just have to ask the right question. Beans or come spilling out.
Leave enough dead air for him to feel uncomfortable and need to fill it.
Our bodies would be like, hey, did Brett go out with you on Thursday night?
Maybe.
Okay, taking the under.
It's a great point by you.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is part of the NCAA running scared? You think this is the NCAA being like, man, we've been getting our butts handed to us on all of these things that we had these strict rules in place for. Maybe we acquiesce a little on the gambling. So you were mentioning also like the Pottawatomies and the places that have the apps. To me, all of this is so trackable now
mm-hmm.
that they probably think if you're willing to risk it and bet on some of these, we're going to find you. We've got all the data where if you do step out of line and start betting on things you shouldn't be betting on, we can shut you down real
well,
quick.
Well, think about how, and not even just at the collegiate level, Will brought up the Iowa State stuff, but I think of Jameson Williams for the Detroit Lions,
where
you're not supposed to, like, he was making bets on the team bus, and that's not allowed, and they were able to track that and figure it out. So, yeah, with the apps and with where all this money is coming in, you know, with they'd be able to figure
it
out.
Let me ask you this. Is it just Wisconsin, or is it every state you cannot bet on the collegiate teams?
It depends from state to
inside
state.
Inside the state.
But a lot of the places that have allowed the mobile betting,
yeah.
Like I know, just working with people at ESPN, like I know they can't bet on UConn games when they're in the state of Connecticut. Like if they want to pull up FanDuel or whatever they have up there, the ESPN bet app, they can't bet on UConn games in the state of Connecticut.
That's smart, right? It's just to keep people from acting like knuckleheads and trying to influence the outcome of those games. It would be easiest from a proximity stash logistics standpoint to influence the outcome of those games. So they just say, I can't bet on them. Bet on anything else.
Yes.
You can literally bet on anything else except for the collegiate teams in your state. I think if you want to gamble, you can find something that tickles your fancy. So the NCAA is considering lifting the ban on pro sports betting. It sounds like you guys don't see any issue with it.
Yeah, as long as you keep, you can't bet on college if you want to bet. Because how many guys are actually going to want to bet?
Because my kids sit there and they bet in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's wild. And all their friends do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
in
5 bucks here,
of the game,
10 bucks
fourth
here.
Quarter. Yeah. You know, I'm going to parlay this. I don't understand it because I don't like gambling.
Well, that was obvious when you just said, man, I'm going to parlay this.
Parlay this, parlay that.
Although it's strange because I went to Boston College and we're very big on point shaving. I had no idea what that is when it first came out.
Wait, really?
Point shaving? What does that have to do with a razor?
Were you there when that happened?
No, that was before
That was right before you.
Yeah.
That was right before you.
Yeah. Crazy.
You had no idea what point shaving was? No. What did you think it was? When you heard the term
They can't
point
come
shaving,
up with a better name than point shaving?
What would you call it?
Cheating.
It's easier to digest, I guess.
Remember, for sure.
When he's right, he's right.
I was just checking to see if there were any other developments since that report came out, if there have been any other comments made on it. I guess my question to you is, if we're so, like, okay with them making this change, what was the explanation? What was the justification for it existing in the first place?
Well, because, I mean, you couldn't gamble on anything for the longest time. So the NCAA is the slowest to move on anything and everything. So this is clearly just an old law that or old bylaw that has existed for however long it's existed. And now they can finally just lift it. Because gambling, it wasn't that long ago where the NFL told Tony Romo he couldn't go to a fantasy football party Vegas.
Correct.
That wasn't that long ago. And now gambling's just everywhere. It's more part of the culture. It's more accepted. So, yeah, they're just going to follow suit.
I wonder if these FanDuels and these DraftKings and these betting spots were like, we are missing out on a whole population of people who are already invested in the sports space. Like, again, not the investment I was talking about before, but who are invested in it, and they're probably thinking, this is going to be a cash cow. We open it up to this population?
Well, especially with some of those guys who have NIL money, looking to burn a little NIL money, well, you know, throw it down, gambling on pro sports. Yeah.
But if the reasoning, the stupid reasoning is because they may know someone on an NFL team.
Yeah.
I had just as many NARP friends as I did athletic friends. Maybe even more. Because you're so sick of hanging out with these guys.
And so what is your point? So then you were telling those guys?
What can keep my buddy who is, you know, a doctor that I went to school with from calling me as opposed to our backup guard?
NARP doctor.
Yes. Yeah, very good NARP doctor, too.
Wait, does he only deal with NARPs?
Is he a doctor of NARPs or just a NARP doctor?
No, he tries to counteract the NARPism. Trying to come up with a drug right now.
How do you
does the NCAA have any responsibility?
Big affliction that a lot of people at DC went trying to cure NARP.
Oh, you have NARPism. Imagine that commercial. Imagine that commercial on TV. You'd have a guy running like this. Look at him now.
Is this you? Call the number below. We can help.
What would you name it? Narpison.
It feels like you've workshopped this.
I know. I'm riffing. It's good to be home.
It does feel like we've sort of opened ourselves up to now have to make that PSA.
We know who we're doing for the before part in terms of running.
Yeah.
We know who we're using as the example. Kind of obvious.
Yes, Jordan Hudson's friend Alex.
Do you or a friend run like this?
Yes. Run like this. We can go to break now.
Would he have to do like the confessional thing too, where he'd be like, they made fun of me all the time. It hurt my feelings.
But now with Narpison, I run normally.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker, and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, and how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Again, the breaking news this morning out of ESPN is that Giannis Antetokounmpo is now open-minded about exploring whether his best long-term fit is remaining in Milwaukee or playing elsewhere. We've been discussing it for the majority of this morning. We will get back to that in just a few moments. But before we do that, guys, I wanted to remind everybody that it is schedule release week in the NFL. I still can't believe the NFL has figured out a way to make this like a holiday. Like, there are shows and shows and shows now built around.
They've already started to sprinkle the games, too. We know what the opening game is going to be. It's going to be Eagles-Cowboys to open up on Thursday night.
Okay. I don't know if I like that. I don't like to see conference games open up.
Why?
I just like to see NFC-AFC. They used to do it like the two... conference champions.
Well, it depends upon who you're playing that next year.
Or the conference losers would play one another, right?
Well, whoever wins the Super Bowl gets that home game and opens up the season that Thursday is how they typically do it.
Okay. But that changes from year to year, right?
Who wins the Super Bowl typically?
No. I'm saying it used to be, how was it back in the day? Because the year after we won the Super Bowl.
They didn't do Thursday games like that. So when they started doing more Thursday games, I mean, it's probably been like this for 15 years at this point.
Yeah.
Where you have the Thursday opener after you win the Super Bowl. The Packers did. They played New Orleans. They did the past two Super Bowl champions when the Packers won the Super Bowl back in 2010.
I would rather see like Philly Buffalo. That would be a great opening kickoff.
I don't know if Buffalo's on their schedule is the problem.
I had no idea, guys. Gabe, you mentioned it. The sprinklings, the smatterings, the breadcrumbs. Today, NBC is announcing games on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Fox is also announcing some games today. Prime Video is announcing some games today. ESPN announcing games tomorrow. Are the upfronts going on? This feels very upfront. Are the upfronts going on in New York this week?
I don't know.
Feels like a thing. ESPN announcing games on Good Morning America tomorrow. CBS on Wednesday on CBS Mornings. And Netflix on Wednesday as well. All leading up to the 8 p.m. Eastern official NFL schedule release. So you'll be able to put together, not complete schedules, chunks.
We'll know two or three games of what the Packers have probably before
the
7 p.m.
Central. Do we
know how
many national games they have?
No.
What do you think? Seven?
Well, I think the most primetime games you can have to start is five. Is that I can't remember what the limit is.
I thought it was Love's rookie year. I thought it was north of that.
Maybe I'm just thinking of like those NBC games.
Okay.
Because you obviously like Thursday night and Monday night and all those different things.
So you mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys. As far as the teams the Packers have this year, all NFC North teams, obvi. And then the Bengals, the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Commanders. What division
are
they playing? Those are the home teams. What division are they playing this
year? The North and the East. So AFC North, NFC East. Tougher divisions this year. Tougher divisions.
Tougher schedule than last year, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, a little different than the AFC South.
Yeah.
Than what you got to play with. You do have the third place schedule, so you get to sprinkle in, you know, the Panthers and the Cardinals. As other NFC games.
Okay.
Ooh, the only bonus of finishing third in the division last year.
Sprinkle in those games, but it's going to be a tough schedule. And because they're playing some of these really good teams, yeah, they're going to be featured on primetime quite a bit.
Okay.
But I would, because they're playing at the Cowboys, Thanksgiving's in play, like Packers Cowboys on Thanksgiving in that 3:25 slot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would always be a potential.
Packers have not finished under 500 at home since 2006. Do you see that being an issue at all this year?
If they finish below 500, they ain't making a playoffs at home.
They're not finishing below 500.
At home.
Oh, at home? I still say no.
Well, that was what we were saying are the home teams, Gabe. Yeah. That was my misunderstanding of our notes here.
But who would have thought last year they'd only win
one divisional game?
One divisional game. They'll do better this year.
Yeah, they've got to win five or six home games.
Yeah.
Potawatomi has the over-under for the Green Bay Packers at 9.5. I have been leaning consistently over on that, in part because Matt LaFleur-led teams seem to always be double-digit win teams, or at least most of the time. That might not be enough, but I do like the moves that they made. The biggest issues, we have spent a lot of time on them, are the pass rush, defensive line, and then whatever they end up doing at cornerback. Do you like going over 9.5, Chew, or under 9.5 for wins for Packers?
I will go. What'd they go last year? 12-5, or 11-?
11-6 was their record last year.
I'll probably go right around there, but they will win more divisional games, which means they have to lose more non-divisional games.
That's how that math
because
works.
I think they got some tough. I mean, the North is a lot better than the South. And then you got Commanders in Dallas who are going to be tough.
I like that I asked if you wanted, if you like over or under 9.5, and you were like right around there. You know.
No, I'm saying right around 11.
11.
Oh, okay.
11
oh, got it.
Right around 11.
I thought you were saying right around 9.5, and I was
No.
Sure. Could you lean one way or the other?
Yeah.
He's right around 11, which
so
is what they had
over,
last year.
So over at the 9.5.
I don't think I'd go to 10. I might go to 12. I don't know. I got to see how this schedule plays out. Because we're going to break it down like we always do in sections, and then we're going to roll from there and then have fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I would take the over because I think they're a playoff team and you need to have double-digit wins to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
But they've got to improve.
Are they? Do you have the under-overs for the other divisional teams?
I believe we do have those. Do you have the over-unders for the other teams?
Yeah, the Bears are over under 8.5 wins. I'll get the rest of them after that.
8.5? You take the under? I'm taking the under. I'm sick of them. They're so dumb down there for crying out. Why didn't you correct me? I said I wasn't going to gush. That was a gush.
When did you gush?
Just now?
I was thinking of taking the over.
Yeah, you take the over for the Packers.
No, the Bears.
Win. Oh, yeah. No, you got there yourself.
Smack me. You have permission to smack me. I'm not doing it this
year.
Just
so you know, I didn't at any point in that conversation think you were taking the over.
I was talking to myself.
There it is. We weren't privy to that conversation. Okay.
I understand what you're saying most of the time. I don't have telepathy with you.
Yeah, I know. Lions are what?
10.5, and the Vikings are also 8.5.
Ooh, hold on.
So they're saying Pack is second best in mm-hmm. the. That's all because of
J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
10.5, 9.5, 8.5, 8.5?
Correct.
I'm taking over Minnesota.
I'm taking under Minnesota.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You don't think he's that good?
I just think he's a. I mean, we saw Jordan Love, like, first year starter. There's going to be some struggles there. I think he's going to be fine.
Okay.
But.
And then what about Detroit?
I'll take the over.
10.5.
So you think they win the division again?
I do. There's no way they can be that beat up on defense again.
Yeah, I agree.
There's just no way.
Well, the only way they take a slide is the coordinators
aren't
very
good. If Ben Johnson was that important, then they will take a slide.
If Ben Johnson was that important, does that change what you're doing for the Bears? Or with the Bears, is it more of they don't have the personnel yet? Because I think they are building, right? We know that they redid their offensive line. They've given Caleb a few more weapons.
I don't know how good he is. I really don't.
Yeah, I would have a hard time betting over on the Bears until I have a more definitive answer on that question.
It's not going to be fixable in a year, I don't believe, right? I don't know. He was not good.
No.
Was not good. I believe I called that, too. You'd go back in the archives.
You just said you were gushing about the Bears last year, and that's why you don't want to gush this year.
I wasn't gushing about him, because I remember the conversation I had with Adam, and Adam was like, oh, this guy's an Andrew Luck, and I'm like, I don't know about that. Check it.
I'm not going to check it. I'm just going to trust you.
Do you have free time anymore or no?
From time to time. Depends upon the day.
We should put that on the poll. If you have the option of checking or trusting Chewy, which one are you going with?
When is it over for you? August?
What are we talking about here?
When you're not
work.
When is it over
when
for
are you?
You
like miserable? Like your training camp starts like, oh my God.
Oh,
here we
well,
go.
Late July.
Okay.
That's when things start to pick up.
And yours is year round and
you know, like I said, depends upon the day.
Okay, fair.
Ian asking us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, what is more likely for the Packers, a first-place finish in the division or a last-place finish in the division?
First place.
Wow, I said that so convincingly, gentlemen. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think either is going to happen, but I think they're the second-best team in the division. They would have to have some pretty tough injuries in order to completely free-fall into
last. Chef Ed saying, as always, barring injuries, I have the Packers at 11 wins. If that is the case, you can go ahead and put a little money down at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, where you said the odds were what, minus 120?
For the Packers, yeah, minus 120.
For the over.
Yes.
Yeah, not a lot of value.
It's not a lot of value there, but It's not like you're taking... There's not a lot of value on the other side if it's wrong, so...
Speaking of not a lot of value, I did the show the other night on Wednesday with Greg Matzik, who said that when he saw Cooper Flagg to be number one overall pick in the NBA, the odds were minus 2,500, and he was thinking about putting down $2,500...
To win 100.
To win 100.
That doesn't sound like a good bet.
I mean, it's a free $100.
Right. The odds have significantly changed since then. Now I believe it's up to like 10,000.
I thought you were going in another direction when that whole sentence. I thought you were going to call Craig Masick worthless. Because how did you start talking about worthless? I was doing a show with Greg.
We were talking about not a lot of value.
The odds. The odds.
I'm just telling you how my brain works. That's all I'm doing. Don't yell at me.
I said, speaking of not a lot of value.
I'm like,
She's taking. Chewy's over there going, man, I can't believe Jen's taking out a teammate right now.
Well, I said, screw, what's his name?
Evan.
Because you want to talk about a turncoat. They're talking about Giannis. He did the exact same thing to us. He left us high and dry.
He's still with the company.
Not really. Am I right?
No, he's definitely with the company.
But he bailed on us.
Well, he had a good job.
I don't care. You don't bail.
More but time he was, consuming.
He handed off the job. The job of what he used to do for us is now belongs
to
somebody else.
So you're basically telling me if Giannis leaves, you're okay with it.
But Giannis is like, if Giannis leaves to become, you know, the general manager.
He's using Evan Cohen as the barometer for your Giannis take.
Yes. Yeah.
You're okay with Evan leaving. Are you okay with Giannis leaving?
But yeah, but Evan didn't leave. He just has a different role within the company.
No. All right. No. He used to do our little meetings there, and he bolted.
Yeah.
Did he bolt? Do you still talk to him?
Yeah.
Why?
Not regularly, but we still chit-chat. That is very Love Fern logic, though, by the way. Did you ever see How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? When she's like, our Love Fern, you let it die. Are you going to let us die? It's kind of how the Evan Cohen to Giannis thing was working. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are so far off the rails. It's not even funny. We'll be right back after this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. And what it found was really interesting, guys. While 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy. When people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It impacts families, workplaces, and entire communities. Guys, I spent the weekend watching that piece on E60 on Katie Meyer, the goalie from Stanford, who took her own life a few years ago. It was so eye-opening yet again to be confronted with a family who is dealing with the ultimate loss. And the point of this is we don't want that to happen anymore. We don't want anybody to get to the point where they feel like they have no other options. BetterHelp is an option. With more than 35,000 therapists, they're the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and it is convenient. You can join a session with the click of a button. You can do it on your time, in your home, with all the privacy that that provides, and you can switch therapists at any time. So here it is, guys. Visit betterhelp.com/timeout, and you'll get 10% off your first month. We are all better with help. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Are we going to talk about it?
What?
You belching into the microphone as Jen's trying to give...
That ain't on me.
As Jen's trying to give a heartfelt read...
And then I see you laugh. I see you laugh.
I turned away.
I saw everybody laughing.
Once I saw Gabe laugh, I couldn't hold it back.
Well, it's Gabe's fault, really.
How is this my fault?
Because you said I would have problem with the button today.
Well, I said that, but yeah. Gabe?
What?
Oh, you said that?
Yeah.
Well, then you deserve it.
You're
I can't believe you could. I didn't open my mouth or anything.
It was such a burp.
It's like right.
The listeners just didn't
right
hear
into
it.
The microphone.
They didn't hear it.
Right into the microphone.
Did they, Will?
I mean, I heard it, so I assume it was impressive, though. It was like a closed mouth burp, but it still made a sound somehow. I got to give it to you.
I drank it too fast. You guys.
Hey, Gabe, you got to hand it to him. And I'm reading my sheet. I'm reading it, but I see Gabe look at me, and I was like,
my eyes just got wide. Just
break. Read.
When she decided to stay focused and just power through, I'm like, I got to look away. I got to look away. Otherwise, she's going to break.
It's a side effect of Narcan.
It is. I didn't read the label. May belch uncontrollably.
Oh, my goodness. Wildy and Tausch is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Chewy's back, everybody. Chewy's back.